This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome back to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Max Cohen. Jan Schnaes should be joining us in about 5 to 10 minutes. This show is another episode of State of Fulham, where we look at Fulham, where they are right now, what can happen for them for the rest of the season. And this is entitled, Can Fulham Get Into Europe? So we're going to be talking about all 9 matches in the second half of the show, and we're going to give ourselves a total of how many wins, draws, and losses we have. We're going to be going through all 9 matches. This should be a lot of fun, Max. We'll see what point total we're both predicting, and then Giannis will be predicting as well. To start the show, we're going to talk about some key players for Fulham this season and maybe what we're going to see from them the rest of the season and how they have played so far this season. We have a lot to get to. If you're watching live, please feel free to comment during the show. I'll try to get to your comments. Feel free to share your thoughts. Can Fulham get into Europe? I'm curious what everyone thinks. I actually put a poll out. I'll be sharing that in the second half of the show. Before we go on any further, I do have to welcome my co-host to the show. Mr. Cohen, how are we doing? Are you looking forward to this?
Yeah, I am. I think it's fun that now we're going to be safe. We're not going to go down. We can look forward to the run-in with no pressure. And let's talk about it.
And that's kind of where I'm going on this, Max, because like I said, we're going to be talking about a few key players for Fulham, but I also want to talk about these matches because the pressure's not on them right now. Really, they can do whatever they want to do. It's off. If they want to get to Europe, there's a lot of work to do. It's going to be difficult, extremely difficult, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that when we break down all these 9 matches. But it's a fun thing to be involved in that we can talk about that, Max. That's the way I'm looking at it. I know fans like, don't talk about Europe. Don't talk about Europe. And my whole thought is, why not talk about Europe? It's not probably going to happen, but there's a glimmer of hope. So why not have a discussion on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you. I don't think we're going to get there based on how many teams are ahead of us. I think the point total itself doesn't look that daunting, but we need a lot of other teams to drop off, which will take a lot of help. But for me, you know, why not top 10 is how I view it. Why not comfortably top 10, top half of the table? That I think will be more realistic than Europe for us.
Okay. Well, we will get to that in the second half of the show. As we wait for Giannis, let's get going. And like I said, we have some players I want to get your thoughts on because this is an international week, so I thought it's a good time to take a look at some key players. Let's start with Rodrigo Muniz, okay? And huge improvement from him. I would recommend everyone, if you've not watched yet, a video from Fulhamish where they really break down Rodrigo Muniz's improvement in some really great detail. Highly recommend. And that's what also gave me the idea. Let's us talk about what we've seen from Rodrigo Muniz. So, Max, let's just talk about where he started with Fulham and where he is now and just your overall thoughts on him. And then we'll break down why we think he has improved so much.
He was a player who has hit his form in a way I don't think we've seen in a long time, in a consistent manner at the top level against all sorts of defenses, which is just incredibly impressive. You know, we said a lot that when he joined, he had a lot of potential, but we didn't know a lot about him. He performed at a decently high level in Brazil, but wasn't established by any means. And it was a gamble. But this gamble seems to have paid off. You know, he spent last season parts on loan to Middlesbrough. We didn't know what would come out of him. And this season, he looked third choice at times, maybe even fourth choice, people thought, when Broja joined. And he's now clearly the best goal-scoring striker we have. I can't really explain the improvement, Russ. Maybe you can shed some light on it. But I think it might just be as simple as he had enough game experience under his belt. Marco trusted him. And as with any position, I think strikers stand out the most as being form-based. And when you start scoring goals, it changes your mentality. It changes how you make your runs into the box. It changes how your teammates view you. I think we have to go back to that game against Burnley when he scored his first goal, that amazing chip, and what that did to his confidence.
That's a great point. And listen, I want to reference this great show that I watched on Fulhamish. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit what Jack Collins said. And he also mentioned that in his career recently, Rodrigo Muniz hasn't started many matches, and now he's getting a chance to start and show what he can do, and he's improving week by week. What's interesting, Max, I go back to the match we saw in Philadelphia where he played. And I remember watching it, and people were doubting him, and I'm not going to say I predicted this because there's no way I did. But I did see something small that I thought, I was like, okay, he looks like he improved. Did I think it was going to be this? Absolutely not. So I think a lot has to do with playing regularly, confidence, because you're scoring goals, and it continues to score goals. And that's what's great. But it's not just about the goals. It's about the overall play, Max. He is making defenders, center backs nervous. And that's crazy to say. I would say directly similar to Mitro, they're different players. But you know what? I think he has given them all kinds of questions. I think that he is using to his advantage. And I think Marco and his coaching staff have put him in the best position to succeed.
100%. The thing about Muniz I like the most is he plays with such a, you know, he has a reckless abandon for anything. He just feels like he's playing with freedom. A smile on his face, the way he goes in the challenges, the way he attacks the ball, you know, the way he did it against Brighton stands out the most. It just seems like he's no fear when he's confident and he's on form. The goal against Villa, you know, the instinct to stick out outside of his right boot and curl that in from an impossible angle. He's trying things. And that's why I think, you know, when it's not going well, fans can criticize. And we did criticize. But he has something special in him, and he has inventiveness, creativity. You know, he's a maverick in some ways. And when he tries something audacious, it's more than often coming off in the past couple of matches. I remember against Wolves, he had some amazing first touches, just flicks to on-rushing wingers. It's fantastic. And the more confident he gets, the more he's feeling that he has the freedom to try and even the freedom to fail.
That's a great point, because I don't think he fears anything right now. He's playing with no fear because he's got all this confidence, so he can try things. But I also think he's keeping it within himself. Like, he's not trying bicycle kicks all the time anymore. Like they were talking about that on Fulhamish. He is under control, but he is giving these defenders so much trouble, Max. I want to share a couple of comments. This is from John Eden. Says, getting game time has made the difference. I totally agree, John. This is from our friend Gary D. Muniz has improved so much. It's incredible. Great coaching by Silva and Boa. It has taken him time to settle in the UK. Plus, he's learned English. Now, that's a huge thing, Max. He did not know any English before he came to England. So that has to play a role as well. Communication.
Yeah, and I think, you know, often when we're looking at players, we don't see them as humans. And we think, you know, they're professionals and they're robots. They'll play as normal. But I mean, the adjustment to coming to a totally new country at such a young age, you know, we can't discount how difficult that can be, especially the high pressure environment of England. So, you know, this is just him gelling. I think this is his team is uncomfortable. It's also him, you know, adapting to a new country, a new way of life,
right?
A language barrier too. What I love is I think he just seems to be beloved by the team. You know, he doesn't look like a toxic personality. He looks an infectious smile. And then when he dances after the goals, everyone wants to join.
Oh, it's great.
And that's amazing. You know, that just makes you smile.
Excellent. This is also from Gary D. Thank you, Kamal, for your comment. It's just too long for me to share, but I'm going to share the one from Gary D. He says his performance against Spurs reminded me of Mitro at his peak. What are your thoughts about that?
100%. I mean, the type of goals he scores, it's similar to Mitro. I mean, you can talk about Spurs, you know, certainly the way he took that first touch and fired low, the confidence to have that kind of strike, instinctive. And then the second one was even more impressive, how he put his body on the line, knowing he's going to be clattered and likely injured. But what mattered to him was not that, it was the goal. That's Mitro. And I want to talk about the Brighton game, because I think the Brighton game was what reminded me most of Mitro in terms of ability, aerial, and physicality. The assist he had for Wilson, and then his own goal from the Wilson cross, those types of headers, that type of movement, that type of strength, it reminded me almost of, you know, Mitro against Brentford last season, in terms of, you know, you put a ball in the box, and it doesn't matter where Muniz is, you know he's going to get a gun down the end of it. And I think another great finish against Bournemouth, right? That first time volley. He's finding himself in really good positions. And our wingers know you loft the ball up to the back post and he's going to get there.
Right. Well, good stuff there, Max. Let me ask you this as we finish up talking about Rodrigo Muniz. We talked about before on prior show, me and you, about purple patch, right? Could this just be a purple patch? I'm not sure about that, because I think at some point you go beyond that. Manor Solomon had that purple patch. This to me feels different, Max.
I think it's still too early to say. I mean, right? Basically, he's a top Premier League scorer this year, right? This calendar year. That's certainly incredible, and that shows that he's scoring goals at a rate unparalleled in England. That being said, does this mean he's going to score 15, 20 goals each season? I don't know. I don't know if we've seen enough of Muniz. I guess the next question for your question, yep, the secondary one is, do we need to buy a striker? And that's a different story. But I think that's what you're trying to get at here, right?
Right.
Basically, if this is not a purple patch and this is a sign of a top player, then maybe we don't get a striker. But I think there are a lot of fans, and maybe I'd be among them.
No, I still want another striker. I still want that. I should say, let me clarify my point. I wasn't really going there, so I'm going to change my mind on that. I reserve the right to change my mind when I say I still want a striker, but I think right now that he's going to continue to improve. I could be wrong on that. I'm talking about improvement, not talking about do we need another striker.
I don't know if if we've seen enough to say he's consistently going to be a top goal scorer in the league.
Okay.
But that's not to say he can't be. I don't want to jump to conclusions.
Okay.
But when you compare it to Solomon, I do think it's a little bit different. I think we just talked about this last week in that.
We did.
The goals Solomon scored were predictable. And once teams knew what he's going to do, they just doubled up on him. One left back, one winger, eight winger inside. He had nowhere to go. You can't do that with Muniz. He's far too strong and far too versatile. So I think it's different.
Okay, very good. All right, let's move on. I know Giannis will be joining us shortly, so he can jump right in when he does come along here. Okay, Max, another player I want to talk about. And I'm calling this the controversy surrounding Andreas Pereira. What I mean by that is not that he's a controversial player, just that there's been a lot of talk about him. He's a player that people aren't sure about because the stats tell you one thing, that he is very effective with Fulham. I've had many fans of other clubs tell me how great of a player he is because the stats say that. But the eye test is a little bit different. I think at times he was better last season. But then there have been some games where he's really shown up, and he's been very good. So that's why I wanted to get your thoughts on Pereira. I don't think that there's this easy answer to him as a player. So let me see if we actually – I'm just going to break in for a second, see if we have Giannis on with us. Giannis, are you with us?
I made it.
Ooh. How are you doing, Giannis? Thank you for joining us.
I was listening. Thank you. Yeah, I was hearing a fantastic conversation about our friend, the Putney Pele. And of course, he's the Putney Pele, of course. You know. Yeah, he's done brilliantly. Yeah, he's done brilliantly.
I was going to say, Yana, since you jumped in, do you want to share your thoughts on Rodrigo Muniz?
He's been superb. He's been superb. But of course, the question now becomes, can he carry it on for the next 10 games? And then what happens about next season? Do we need another striker? And I'd say it's always good to have a second striker in there that can, you know, is Jimenez maybe the answer? possibly. I mean, I don't think he's done badly by any means. I think Vinicius is on his way out. Maybe the club will take the gamble and look to strengthen in other areas if we're going to lose, let's say, Anthony Robinson as an example.
Yep.
In the event that we lose Paulinho, that's two. Maybe they will find areas to strengthen. That's why it's funny that the Riverside stand opening up is good news, because it's going to generate more income for our club, which is what we're going to need for the financial fair play, which means we're going to have more money to spend on good players. But I'd just have the Muniz, because he's only 22, and Jimenez, that'd be really good mentorship for him because he's a young kid. So that's why I'd stay.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. Okay, so we just jumped into our conversation on Andreas Pereira. The reason why I brought this up is because he's a polarizing figure with Fulham, and I think you would agree with me on that. So, Max, I'll give you first crack on your thoughts on Pereira. What do you make of him with his statistics and what the eye test tells you?
I think last season he was much better. That's the first thing I'll start with, which is, you mentioned, you know, his dead ball delivery is second to none. I think he's excellent at that. It's tailed off a little bit this season. His corners last year were just fantastic, and that was a big part of why we were never really in the relegation fight last year, because we could always count on him to put a great free kick cross in onto the head of Mitro. Now, I think other parts of his game, though, can suffer, and he can be a bit of a passenger at times and doesn't provide much in the defensive end. So when you combine those things, and maybe he's not getting the service he wants, or he's not tracking back, you know, there can be gaps in our defense. I still think he's an important part of Fulham's team, but, you know, last season, I think he had a decent shout to be in the player of the season category. He was that good. This year, he's been a bit more muted, but I don't think he's been a disaster, but not a top performer like you could say it was last season.
Okay. Giannis, before I go to you, I want to share this comment from Gary D. Pereira does a lot of work which goes unnoticed for the team. He leads the press at times, and I think that he gets unwarranted stick from the fans. That's also one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, because he gets a lot of stick, honestly. But what are your thoughts about this? Because I know that he's important to the press. I've heard Marco talk about that, but I've also seen him a passenger in several matches. I could also say maybe it's sometimes it's the players he's playing with that they haven't been at full strength. So what are your thoughts about Pereira? Where do you fall in this controversy with him?
He's an enigma. I mean, you look at the goal that he set up, the first goal against Burnley for Muniz, brilliant overhead, which was just superb. He set up the Brazil winner last night.
Fantastic.
Against England. Yeah, but he can be in and out. I'm hoping that the fact that Harry Wilson has hit a turn of form, you're looking at that number 10 spot, and of course Iwobi can play there as well. Is this going to be the kick up the bottom that he needs? I like him in the squad. I do. I think he adds a little bit of quality and an unknown to the lineup. But I like his athleticism. I agree about the press. He works hard there. I just think that he's I think his percentage rate of passing could be higher, but I think he's what contributes to a pretty athletic team that's very difficult to beat when we're on the counter-attack, when we're on the break. We can be a pretty devastating team, and he's as good a reason as any because of it. We've got to keep him around. He's still fairly young. Remember, I thought he got the look in at Man U, and he's come over here and he's found new ground. He can be frustrating, but I think fans have to consider some of the crap we had before. I mean, we only have to go back. Let's go back to the year after we got relegated. You know, after Felix and some of the droll and drivel and bile that we had.
Should we bring up Mark Fotheringham?
Huh? Fotheringham, yeah. There you go. People, you know, fans forget that team was bad. That was a bad, bad team, and fans are moaning about Pereira, Brazilian international. Now, Roy Keane wants it. Well, and, you know, facetiously, anyone can play for their country, and I sort of you know, seeing as Ben Chilwell and Conor Gallagher can turn out for England, anything goes, right? But at the same time, you've still got us. He's done well to play in a middle of the table, Fulham outfit, and still make it after 6 years absent to make the Brazilian national team. And I think that should tell you everything you need to know about what the coaches think about what he's done.
Right.
We should, I think, get to appreciate him a little bit more.
Okay. I'm going to share this comment from Kamal. Andreas is a pure artist. His assist last night against England shows that, but the EPL is quite raw and tough, but Fulham without him has a hole in it. That's interesting. Giannis, I want to go right back to one of the criticisms that I've been told to, that I've spoken to a good friend about, is that he does not score enough goals. I think that's warranted.
I think our center, you could say that about our central midfield, period. We don't really chip in with enough. I mean, it's good to see Lukic get a goal last week. Palhinha had one chalked up. That was a fantastic team goal. But I do think that would take some pressure off the strikers if the midfield contribute more. Harrison scores the odd one or two. Bobby De Cordova-Reed does score more than maybe sometimes he should, but I think we need to get more from the central midfielders. And I'd like to see us create more from set pieces. I think, you know, with Lukic and Palhinha, and I'm hoping those two are going to stay together now. You've got like a lot of height in the box with Tosin and Bassi in there. You've got Castagna whipping the balls in, or you know, Pereira. There's a lot of ability there. And I think that the more the midfield scores, the more pressure it takes off Muniz, which then points back to Muniz and Jimenez.
Right.
And what a good job they've done. And with the games we've got, this is an exciting end of the year, guys, because we still have to play City, Liverpool at home.
I know.
And Newcastle. We've got Sheffield United next week. We still have to play the Palace at home. We've got to go to Luton last game of the season. We've got some really, really big games coming up, and good where we can cause some real trouble. Like, Liverpool won't fancy coming to play us again. City, if we're playing like this, we're going to give City a nice run. We're finally going to break our duck over that lot from the northeast, surely. Honest to God, you know, get rid of those buggers. I think we've got enough. It's going to be a good 10 games to evaluate where we're at. And hopefully Silver at the end can say, okay, this is what we need, and this is when we need it, and we need it now. Because we're going to lose, I feel, a couple of players. But I don't think it'll be Pereira. You know, I think he's been quieter than last year, but I still think he's a huge part of our team.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. I just want to mention that the second half of the show, we're actually going to go through all 9 matches left, and we're going to predict them. I thought that would be fun to see where we think Fulham are going to be by the end of the season. So we're going to go through all of them, so that should be fun. But before we do that, I have to share this comment before we move on. Giannis, I thought you would appreciate this. From Gary D, Giannis Ayite was an enigma.
Oh, he was something.
Oh, he was something. Gary, don't get him started on Floyd Ayite. Oh, we'll never stop.
Floyd Ayite? God forbid, that was, oh my Lord, that was, but it's funny because we lost, didn't we? We sold Sonny Aluko for, was it 7 million to Reading? I don't know what was going on there. We really benefited from that one. No, he didn't do it for me. It's funny though, I still think we miss Cabana.
We might, that's actually a good call.
After the Parker ball, he came back last year, and I thought he was very good. And I'd like to know the bid that was put in for the contract, because I thought Cabana had a year or two left. You can't beat good, tricky wingers who are direct, going at fullbacks. And there aren't enough of them in the league. I mean, you see the value of William, you see the value of Harry Wilson when he's going at it. You see what Iwobi can do when he goes wide.
That's right.
Both left and right. So it's a shame that we didn't keep Cabana. But I eat saying that, no, mate. It's just...
Okay. No worries, Giannis. All right, let's move on. One final topic before we look at the rest of the season, which I think is going to be a lot of fun in the second half of this show. So, Giannis, do you get a chance to see the U.S. men's national team play?
Yes.
Okay, so perfect. So I'm going to go to you first, and then I'll go to Max. Now, Jedi and Bobby Dover-Reed played against each other. And I'm just going to start us off by telling you that this is a terrible performance by the U.S. men's national team. I call it the Parker ball because that's what it felt like watching it. Jamaica, to their credit, scored the goal and played a low block, and the U.S. men's national team could not do anything. But what was interesting about this is that Jedi did not look like the player I've seen playing with Fulham. Was it because Jamaica was playing with a low block? Was it the system with Greg Berhalter? Possibly. But what do you make of Jedi's performance and BDR's performance in that match for the U.S. men's national team in Jamaica? And then I'll get thoughts from Max.
Well, it was Hector, our old boy Hector, that set up the goal.
He played well, by the way.
Yes, he did play well. And Jamaica are not a donkey side. I think BDR would have been up for it because he's up against his teammate. But I'm not a fan of Berhalter. I haven't been since day one. To me, the U.S. have talent, but they're boring. They're boring to watch. And if 2026 of the World Cup, there needs to be a philosophy. I think that I say the same thing about the Mexicans. There needs to be a philosophy of play and how they're really going to utilize players like Balogun as an example.
Right.
Or Pulisic, you know, or Aronson. You've got very, very good players in there. And we looked, you know, the U.S. looked ploddish until that you know, seventh minute into injury time equalizer. I think with Silva and Robinson, he just says, go out and play and use your athleticism because you know you've got cover. And that's the key. He has cover. The defenders are very quick behind him. If he's got William there, William will help to mop up. He may not be as quick as the defenders, but he'll do something. Robinson, I sort of read something in the papers about, you know, was it Liverpool had an interest in him for 35 million? I'm thinking 35 million, what, yen? Like, are you off your trolley? One of the best left backs in the Premier League. One of the best. Bar none. You know, I looked at Chilwell yesterday and went, how the heck did he cost as much money from Leicester as he did? And he's playing for England. Because
right.
Robinson would be starting left back for England. I agree with you. I've not seen a better left back. And it's a show. I mean, he's playing for the US and he's getting lots of caps, which I think is great. But you're right. He didn't look the same player. And BDR always plays well for Jamaica.
And he was great, by the way. Like
yeah.
I said. Hector was great too. Listen, I want to give Jamaica full credit, but I wanted just to focus on the Fulham players here. And Max, I know you didn't get a chance to see it, but I want to get your thoughts on Anthony Robinson because his growth has been tremendous. But I've just found it interesting is that when he's playing in a different system, and I'm glad that Giannis brought this up, maybe a system that isn't as attacking and trustworthy to let him do what he has to do. I'm not saying that he's a different player. I just think it actually shows his value to Fulham and also to Silva is that Silva can get the best out of him, Max. You see the true player when he plays for Fulham. When he plays for the U.S. men's national team, he just doesn't seem like the same player. I think Berhalter has a lot to do with it. I want to get your thoughts on sometimes the system, the manager, and the player, it's the right fit. I think this is one of those times with Jedi.
See, I have a different take. I think he's just inconsistent as a defender.
Okay.
I think he's not nearly as good as some people think he is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be harsh on Anthony Robinson. He's one of my favorite players, and I do love him as a player. I just think all the talk about Liverpool, City, the top teams, I don't think he's ready for it. I don't think he's there because what the top teams require week in, week out is consistency and just excellence in terms of defending. Giannis makes a good point about Chilwell, and now, you know, there are some players at top teams, so you think, how do they get there? I get that. I hear you, Giannis. I don't think Anthony Robinson's that player. I think he gets massively hyped up after a couple of really good games. I think he is quite good at one-on-one defending. We've seen him do that with Saka, with Salah, some of the best players in the league, yes. Other times, I think it looks like he's lost on the pitch defensively, lapses in concentration. So I think the system, I think that could be the point, but also I just don't think he's – I think there's a reason he's at Fulham now. He's not consistently an excellent defender.
Okay, very good.
And he's great speed, and I think people look at the speed and they think that is what makes a modern fullback, and that's true. He's extremely, extremely quick, yes. But sometimes positionally, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Okay, excellent. All right, guys, great start to the show. Second half of the show is going to be fun. We're going to be breaking down the final nine matches and share where we think Fulham can end up. This should be fun. We'll be going through that coming up next.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. Okay, guys, let's get to it. We're going to talk about the final nine matches of the season. Now, this is where it all began with me. I thought I would put out a poll, guys. And this is the poll. It was, can Fulham get into Europe? And that's what I called the show. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I think it's going to be very difficult. Giannis, you and I were going back and forth. I agree with you. I think it's going to be very difficult, but there is a glimmer of hope. So I just wanted to focus on if it could happen and what the fans think about this. So I did a poll. I have over 200 votes. Yes, seventh is possible was only at 10%. At 44%, no, but in the top 10. 18% was no, will end 10th, and 29% was no, will end mid-table. So obviously, not many people feel that we're going to get into Europe, Giannis. And I know you feel that way, too. If the way I look at it is they probably would have to win between six and seven matches, and then they would have to have other clubs drop points and really just drop in form altogether to be in the conversation for seventh or eighth, because I think it would be up to eighth at this point to get into Europe. So what are your thoughts before we break down all the matches?
That's about right, because there's – you know, for every we've had some excellent results, but you look at the fixture list coming up, we've got some real tough ones coming up. I left out, we have to go to Wet Spam.
We do.
And you know, we've knocked them 5-0. Now we've got Sheffield United and Nottingham Forest in a matter of days. We get 6 points in those two games, and maybe we might be talking, but again, I like Silva's approach. He's taking it one game at a time. He's keeping it low-key, and I think that's the way it should be. I think when you players start getting tight, when you're looking at the targets of, well, we've got to win X to get to point. There have been enough upsets near in this part of the season just gone to suggest there are going to be lots of twists and tails coming up. So it's like saying, well, we're going to go to Sheffield United, we should get 3 points there. Well, we've lost 16 of our players have been away on international duty. You know, Paulinho was allowed to come back early, which is great. But, you know, the players are going to return Wednesday, maybe even Thursday. Then they go up to Bramall Lane. Last time we played up there, lest we forget, we lost 4-0. Last game of the season, 2 seasons ago, the championship winning season. So it's not going to be easy. Chris Wilder teams always work hard, but with the 10 games, I just think there's too much. I just think we take it one game at a time and we'll see, and maybe we'll have a pleasant surprise. And but in the big picture, if you look at the Liverpool, City, Newcastle, yep, those three home games, if we win two of those, then I'm going to maybe begin to think maybe.
Okay.
So then you're looking at, let's take that lot out of the Northeast. It's, we'd have to beat City or Liverpool. Could we beat them? Could we? Yeah, we can at home. We're very good at home. But let's face facts. These are fantastic sides. So we'll do well to get anything. Although, having said that, we've taken 4 points from Arsenal this year. So
that's right, Giannis. And that's kind of where I'm going on this. Like, I understand where you're going on this. You are a realist, and that's why I appreciate you and Max. And I'm a little bit of a dreamer, let's call it what it is. I'm a huge optimist. Max is smiling because he knows that's true. So the way I look at it, I think it's game on if they win the next three. And they're difficult ones. And we're going to talk about it coming up next. We're going to talk about Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest. We're going to talk about West Ham. You talk about Newcastle. They're all coming up. But if they were able to, say, beat West Ham, beat Nottingham Forest, and beat Sheffield United, I think they have a chance. A chance. But it's going to be difficult. So, guys, let's get to it. Giannis just brought us there right off the bat. Max, I'm going to give you first crack at this. This is, again, on paper, Fulham should get all 3 points. Sheffield United at Bramall Lane. But I'm glad that Giannis brought this up. The players are coming back from international duty. I don't know if you guys saw the speculation with Calvin Bassey. So we're going to have to wait and see until he gets back. That there is speculation that he is going back to Fulham early because he might be dealing with a knock. Again, this is just talk, but we shall see what happens with Calvin Bassey. That would be a loss if he cannot play in the match against Sheffield United. But again, we shall see. So thoughts on the first match coming up against Sheffield United, Max? Win, loss, or draw? Your thoughts?
It has to be a win. Has to be a win. I mean, we've seen teams go to Sheffield United and embarrass them. We've also seen teams go there and give it a tougher match. But, you know, I think it has to be. I'm thinking it'll be a win by 2 or 3 goals. I've seen them play against Arsenal, against Newcastle. Yeah, two quality sides, but they've just absolutely embarrassed themselves. I think they're by far the worst team in the league, and we have to win this game.
Okay.
Well, 3 points. I'm calling 3 points for this.
Okay. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to say they are going to win at Bramall Lane. I'm going to say a victory. I'm not going to predict the score. But to your point, I actually watched them play Arsenal. That was kind of embarrassing. But to Giannis's point, make me really think about it, is you're coming off of this international break. So I think it will be more difficult than maybe some think. And like you said, I have a lot of respect for Chris Wilder. I don't think it's going to be easy. I'm going for a victory. How about you, Giannis?
I'm going to complete the trifecta. I don't think it's easy to go up to Bramall Lane. I don't think they're very good. You know, it's a weird setup there. I think that Heckingbottom being fired was a little unlucky because you have to have the tools. And I think what summed up Sheffield United is they spent so much money on Sander Berger.
Yeah.
You took a player from Burnley he went the other way, didn't he? No. Am I getting confused? Sheffield United have him, right? Yes.
He went the other way.
Oh, he went the other way. If you look at, they're still relying on Ollie Norwood in the middle there. They got Ollie McBurnie up front. I know they lost Chris Basham. I remember the first game, that horrendous injury. They played just tough at the college. I don't think they're as necessarily as bad as when Newcastle and Arsenal thumped them. But they're not good. So I'd expect, and I'm sure Coach Marco will expect us to go and get 3 points up there. And I believe we will.
Okay. I'm going to share a couple of comments. If you're watching live, feel free to share your comments on these matches and come up with your own total. This is from Gary D. Sheffield United must be a away win. They've been shocking. I agree with you on that, but we shall see. Diego Morales says win 3-1. Okay, guys, let's move on. Let's now talk about Nottingham Forest, a club I really don't like at all. So, Giannis, I'll go to you first. Your thoughts on Fulham going on the road, followed up from playing Sheffield United. Now they're going to play Nottingham Forest.
Who, by the way, I think dodged a bullet with the 4-point deduction. I still don't understand why Everton had 10 and it was reduced to 6. But then Nottingham Forest just get 4. It's a shame, you know, I do have a soft spot for Nottingham Forest, but that goes back to Brian Clough.
Right.
And I think if Brian Clough would probably, and Peter Taylor, would be rolling in their graves. You know, this is a club that they managed to get league titles, the European, you know, Champions League titles from a small market team, and the way they always did it the right way, and they've got an owner who's completely mad. Mad as a box of frogs. And the number of signings he's made, it's just been just the whole thing's been weird. Just the whole thing has been so dysfunctional. If we can beat Sheffield United, I think we go there and we win. Last year, I think we won, wasn't it?
Pelinha
scored a screamer.
Yep.
Harrison Reed scored one. We were goal down. I think we won, did we win 4-2? 3-2? 3-2, maybe. We did the double on them last year. We've beaten them early this season. I think we match up well with them. They're going to start getting a little bit sticky, you know, sticky situation now because the 4 points puts them below Luton. And now every game is a cup final for them, and they won't fancy playing us. I don't believe. I believe we're going to go there and win it, nick it by one.
Okay. All right. Max, what's your prediction?
I see a draw. I think Forest are a tough place to go. I think they're going to be feeling an injustice with this points deduction, and whether or not that's fair, I think things like that can galvanize a team. We've seen that a bit with Everton, a rally around the flag kind of effect. So I think that's going to be a draw. You know, I know we won there last time out in the Prem, but I see us tying.
Okay. So Gary D agrees with you. Forest got lucky with points deduction. Will be a hard game for us. Can see this being a score draw. So he goes with you, Max. Okay, the internal optimist, Russ Goldman, victory. Of course, yay. Victory. So the way I'm looking at it, and I'm not going to discount the 5-0. I'm actually going to factor it into my decision here. Different manager, same players, though. Well, if you want to add Gio Reyna, which makes no sense, going to Nottingham Forest, what a joke that is. Just add another player that makes no sense to that team, and he happens to be a very talented player. I can't see how that is going to work out. But I just think Fulham are going to win this match, and I just think that they're the better side. I know where they're playing this match, but they went there last season. I think they're going to do the double. I'm going with another Fulham victory. Okay, guys, talk about another team Fulham beat 5-0. Giannis, now they go to the London Stadium to play West Ham. I've watched a lot of West Ham. Jekyll and Hyde for me, because at times I think they have looked horrible like they did against us. Then I've seen them play very well. Your thoughts on this match at the London Stadium?
I don't think we get anything down there. I think that Mikel Antonio coming back is a big. I know he's working his way back to finish. You could see last week, though, against Villa, that goal. He makes a huge focal point for the team. Bowen had an off day. I know we thumped him, but Bowen's a super player, and they're a very well organized side. They bore you to death, because that's David Moyes for you. But they're going to remember the 5-0, and it's a different field than a big stadium. It's more expansive. It's not as tight, and you know this will be a game that they'll have chalked down after the defeat earlier this season. I think it's going to be, we'll do really well to get a draw down there. I don't see it. I think we're going to lose. I think we're going to lose down there by one.
Okay,
but I think it's going to be a very, very tough game.
Okay, excellent. All right, Max, what's your prediction for Fulham at the London Stadium to face West Ham?
Yeah, I think we're going to lose too, unfortunately. When is the last time we won away at West Ham?
That's a great point.
Doesn't come to mind for me.
No, it doesn't for me either.
To be fair, we were in different divisions for a while. You know, we were in the Prem and they were in the Championship in the 2010s, and that flipped around. But we certainly haven't won when they moved to the new stadium. Yeah, I can remember. So I think it's a bogey ground for us. And yeah, I think you said it best for us, Jekyll and Hyde. They can be excellent and then they can be really poor. But, you know, seeing the way they play against Villa scares me a bit.
Okay. All right. I'm going to share these comments before I share mine. This is from Kamal. He's going for a Fulham victory 3-1 against Forest. We'll be full of confidence. And now he's going for a Fulham victory against the Hammers. Sorry for my optimism. I'm just a fan. Okay. Gary D shares. Fulham seemed to struggle against Hammers away. You guys already mentioned that. Think Fulham won't get anything. Going along with you guys. Okay. Guess what, guys? I'm going with Kamal. Of course I'm going for a Fulham victory here. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't think it was a fluke beating them 5-0. I think it's a great matchup. I think Marco matches up so well against this side. He knows how to break this team down. I'm going with a Fulham victory. I think there's a little revenge from last season. Remember what happened last season, guys? So I'm going with a Fulham victory. I'm going to say they're going to win 3-1. I'm being bold here. I'm going for one victory, 3-1. So I've got Diego saying draw against Hammers. Russ Goldman, the optimist, continues. All right, let's move on. Let's go to our next match. Guys, this is one I'm really looking forward to. Max, I'll give you first shot at this. Fulham versus Liverpool. Now, before I get your answer, just keep this in mind. Fulham have played Liverpool really tough every match this season. Can they get something from this? Can they beat Liverpool? What is your prediction?
I would love to beat Liverpool. You know that, Russ.
I know that, Giannis.
But they have so much more at stake than we do. And incredibly more at stake. I think the best case scenario is a tie. I think that's optimistic, but I'll go for a draw. I think it'll be something like a 1-1. Okay. But you're right. In a lot of matches we played against them, we haven't been overawed. And I think that it will be the title run in, and they're going to be a lot different team than the team we played earlier. I think they've locked in now, and they know what they have to do to win the league. So, but you know, we're going to be up for it as well.
That's right. We can
forget the first game of the season in 2022. So I'll go 1-1.
Going for a draw. I get that, Max. Okay. Giannis, how about you?
We're going to beat them.
Okay. Giannis is going for a full victory against Liverpool.
Yeah. And there's a couple of reasons. But it's for what Max said. I think there's so much more at stake for them than for us. They're not going to fancy playing us a fourth time this year.
No way.
No way. Muniz is in good form. He's going to send Van Dijk back to the dikes of the Netherlands if he's in that sort of mood. I'm not necessarily a fan of Callagher. I think that our fans will be up for this. Our fans will be really up for this game. I think they will really want us to turn them over more than the City game. And I think Liverpool will bring their full complement of fans, as they always do, magnificent fans. But I think we're going to turn them over. I think this is going to be, if we have any chance of getting to Europe, we're going to have to beat one of the big two. Now, having said that, I thought we'd lose at West Ham, and I still stand by that. But I think at home, we've been excellent this year. So I fancy we're going to turn them over.
Okay. Gary D says, think Fulham will get draw against Scousers. Okay, so I'll give you my prediction, guys, and I'm going to go back a few years when Liverpool were going for the title. They were playing Chelsea at Anfield, and someone, I think, by the name of Steven Gerrard made a big mistake. I think you might remember that.
Yeah.
Liverpool are going to have their moment. It might be Van Dijk this time.
Oh, yeah.
To beat Liverpool. I'm with you, Giannis. I'm continuing my optimism here. Fulham are going to beat Liverpool. I do agree with you as a preview of coming up. I think they're going to win one of the two big matches at Craven Cottage. That's the one I'm going with. I'm going with them beating Liverpool. So that's where I'm going on that. Okay. Let's move on, guys. Here's one that now I think we probably are going to be in agreement on. Fulham are then home against Crystal Palace. Max, I'm going to give you your first crack at this. Your thoughts.
Yeah, this just screams 2-0 Fulham. I can't really say much more than this is just a 2-0 match all over it. You know, that they new manager, you know, below us in the league. I think we win this comfortably.
Okay, excellent. Giannis, how about you?
Draw.
Wow, it's going for a draw against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, because if you look at our record against Palace recently, it's been all draws. I mean, we had the 3-0 the year before last after the World Cup break, but they look like they've been sleeping for 3 months. But we're pretty well matched up with Palace. They're always good games, always tight. It was a draw at Selhurst Park earlier this season. And people were saying, I'm absolutely mad to say that we're going to beat Liverpool, but draw at Palace. I think it's different with London derbies. And I don't think the intensity is necessarily there as much. We're going to be up for Liverpool, but against Palace, it's a friendly banter and atmosphere between the two clubs. They're not having as good a season as they'd probably want, but I still think they've got some very good players. I think it's a good matchup. And for me, it's going to be a draw. Was it 0-0 earlier this season? At the park?
Yes.
I would not
terrible be surprised. Game.
Terrible game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is another goalless draw. I can see it. Yeah, as ending as a 0-0.
Okay. So I guess you can probably predict where I'm going on this. I'm going for a Fulham victory. I think Fulham are very difficult to play at home, and obviously I'm saying Fulham are going to beat Crystal Palace, change of manager. Now, I know the Crystal Palace supporters are probably happy that they have a change of manager, but I think that actually helps Fulham. I like Fulham's chances against Crystal Palace. I'm going for a victory there. So that's going to be followed up with, guess who, guys? Let's go to you first, Giannis. They're going to then play Brentford away. Your thoughts?
Well, I've tried to put my finger on what's happened to Brentford this year. I mean, you take the Tony equation out, but they've got Wemo back and Wissers back, but they're missing something. They're missing something. I don't know.
Why are they not the same team?
I don't. I think it starts in the back. I know Flecken is the. I think he's the Norwegian international goalie. Someone's going to correct me on that, but not a fan. Back four, especially Aya did something in the game against Burnley. I really, really didn't like when there was a non-call and he ended up barking in the face. If Mitro had done it, he'd have got a red, but he got a yellow. And I thought it was indicative of the sort of really up and down season they've had. Frank must be looking in the mirror and going, well, you know, you've got teams breathing down our neck right now. That game could turn out to be really, really big. The Brentford fans have gone quiet all of a sudden. They've gone into hibernation, hurling volleys and rubbish at us because they look at the table and, you know, don't look down, will you? So this is going to be a big game for them. And this is one where the local, you know, bus stop United or the caviar eating Fulham fans goes down the toilet because points are needed. And if they're in trouble within a point or two, this is a massive game for them. I happen to think I think it's going to be a draw down there. I don't think we'll win. Our record at Brentford is not good. I don't know why.
It's not, yes.
It's not. But I fancy us getting a draw because what I'd really love is a 99th minute winner from Muniz.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be lovely. But I think there's so much at stake for them. I mean, could the unthinkable happen? Could they go down? I think they've got too many points even on the. I think 30 is your cutoff.
Yeah.
They only really need one more win, but they're struggling right now. They really are. No, I'm going to say it's a draw.
Okay, so you're going for a draw. Gary D says Fulham will beat Brentford. Max?
I have no idea. This is so difficult to call. Again, it's so much more important for Brentford than it is for us. So theoretically, they're going to be motivated. As you guys have said, we don't have a good record away. At Brentford, I don't know. I think a draw might just be my guess, but I have a feeling we actually might lose this game. I'll say that.
Okay.
Just because they need this and they're floundering. Right. I think there's a very real chance they go down. But with that desperation comes, you know, a different type of mentality. So I think we actually lose.
Max, I'm going to agree with you. I'm actually going for a Fulham loss because of the reasons you just said. A desperate team. The rivalry, I think, does play a factor. And I think Fulham are going to lose this match, which upsets me to predict against them. But I am going to I'm being honest here. I do think they're going to lose at Brentford because of what you just said, Max. I'm with you on that. Okay, let's see. Let's move on. Let's now go to the last home match of the season, Giannis. Fulham versus Manchester City. Now, Fulham could play a role in who wins the title. That's why I actually think Fulham are going to beat Liverpool. I think that's going to cause a whole thing. But I'm just going to tell you right now, I'll share my prediction. I am predicting a Manchester City victory, but I think Fulham are going to make it difficult on them. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't see us getting past them for a few reasons. Haaland, number one, because he burned us earlier this season. We were a bit unlucky, actually, up there earlier this season. I think the key, they're just a super team, although Kyle Walker went down injured yesterday. Is that going to be long-term or not? We'll see. I think their key player is Rodri. He's just absolute beast. So if the Polina-Lukic partnership is still going, is the key going to be to try and stop Rodri? just he's that big an influence. The other matchup, which should be fantastic, is going to be Robinson against Foden.
Yeah,
and Foden's just such an incredible player. Robinson's going to, in terms of discipline, have to be really, really good. I just think they have too many guns. But again, this is going to be a game where the fans should be really up for, because City are coming to town. We're safe and we're going to have a go at them, and it should be a fantastic atmosphere. It's nothing better than having these games at the end of the year where there's really, you really don't have anything to lose, and the fans will be up for it, and the visiting fans know that these are really big games. City and Liverpool do not want to come to the Cottage.
No.
At this time, there's no way that they want to. This is going to be, they know it's going to be a tough game. And I think that it'll be tough for us, but I can't see us doing it. I mean, maybe there's a miracle there. We'll have to play tremendously well. But I suppose, you know what? The overdue a slip up, so who knows?
Okay. So I'm going with a form loss. Giannis is going with a form loss. Max, how about you?
Yeah, I think City are the best team in the league. I think they will win the league, and I don't think we win this game at all. I think it's probably pretty comfortable, as much as we want to hope. Right. I don't think we can get anything out of this.
I totally agree with that. Listen, I know that we played them tough in that first half away at the Etihad. We did. So that's why I think they can make it difficult to a point. But then, as we saw last season, they can turn around whenever they want. And as Giannis said, they have a player that I just think that Fulham are going to have a hard time stopping. That's Haaland. And also, as you mentioned, Phil Foden, I think, is a very dangerous player. There's so many.
Yeah.
So it's just too difficult, too many players to stop. And Manchester City are the best team in the league. I agree with that to those who believe that. I think they're the best team, Max. I agree with that. Okay. To end the season, this is going to be interesting because this could have a lot of ramifications in the league on relegation. Fulham will go on the road to Luton Town. Max, I'll give you first crack at this. What are your thoughts about this? I remember at the beginning of the season, I saw a Luton Town podcasters predict that they would stay up and that they would relegate Fulham this last match of the season. Well, they could still stay up, but he got that part very wrong about Fulham. What are your thoughts about this? What's your prediction?
I think they actually win this game. I don't know. I have a feeling Luton might be down or safe by then. I don't think it's going to come down to the final day. I don't know why. I just have a feeling that it's not going to be that much drama or someone else to be in there, not Luton. So I think we win this game comfortably. I think we win like 3-1 or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Optimus Max with Optimus Russ. That's awesome. Okay. Mr. Janaeus, how about you?
I think it's going to be a draw. Because Luton, I got to tell you, they baffled me. But if you'd said to me before the end of the start of the season that Ross Barkley would be looked at, people are talking about Barkley has maybe been called up. I don't think he's been brilliant for them this season. I don't know what they've got in the water at Luton, but this is not the same player. I mean, you've got players like Doughty in there. I think Doughty's an excellent player. I'm a big fan of Morris up front. I think he's a clever player, classic hold-up man, doesn't get as many goals as he should. And they've been able to utilise players like Townsend, for crying out loud, and Burke. I mean, they've done really well to punch above their weight. I hope they stay up. It's good for the division if they stay up. It's good to have the smaller clubs like the Lutons, like the Bournemouths, staying in this division. It shows it's not all about... You know, I hear the Leeds United fans going, oh, look at us, we have 40,000 every game, and you know, look at we're big. No, that's not the way it works. And Luton have been very unlucky this year with injuries and with games. And let's not forget the heart and soul of the team, Tom Lockyer, is out. I think last game of the season, Luton will be safe. And I think that's going to be a fancy dress party carnival atmosphere. I think that's what's going to happen. It'll be fancy dress for all the fans. And I really don't think there's going to be anything to play for. And I think it's going to be a draw. I can say I'm looking at 2-2.
2-2.
It's going to be a scoring draw. if you've ever been to Kenilworth Road, and I have, as tight a ground as it looks on TV is as tight as it is when you get there. It really is a pokey ground. It's very difficult to play there. And there really is no room, and the fans are pretty rabid. And if they stay up, it's a miracle. We don't know we talk about all these games. Is the City judgment going to come through before the end of the season? There's talk about the Chelsea thing.
Right.
Is that going to come through? Everton going to get another deduction? I mean, there's so much to play for. But I think Luton are going to stay up, and I hope they do.
Okay. Listen, Giannis, maybe for another show, I would certainly like to talk about some of these situations with other clubs. The Chelsea one fascinates me because what I read the other day on TalkSport, that the speculation is that they might have to sell Trevor Chalobah, Broya, and Gallagher all before June 30th just to be safe from their financial situation for the upcoming season so they don't get a points deduction for next season. So interesting stuff. I don't know if that's true or not. It's speculation at this point, but that was what was floated around a few days ago. So,
and the funny thing about that is even if they came out, even if they were available at cup price, I wouldn't take any of those three. Because, you know, I laugh at England taking Conor Gallagher. Where does Conor Gallagher come into the Formula 11? Where do you put him? He doesn't make our 11. There's just there's no way. Chalobah doesn't.
No.
And Breuer can't. It's just, I mean, how many Chelsea, if you're being honest, how many Chelsea players make the Formula starting 11?
With Fulham right now, I don't know how many because this is a real true team, Giannis, and that's why I'm very bullish on this Fulham team because they play together as a unit. And I'm going to end with my prediction. My prediction is a Fulham victory. I'm going with Max 3-1. I'm going with Max. Optimist Max. Russ, the optimist, are in agreement here. So I'm going with a Fulham victory. So I did my math, guys. So I predicted 7 Fulham victories. I know that is probably very unlikely. But if they get 7 out of 9, they would be contending for Europe. They would totally be right there. We're talking 21 points. They'd be on 59, which would be insane.
The flip side, Russ, is if we were, if we were lucky enough to make Europe,
right,
and even make the European Cornflake League, we'd still need to bring a number of players in. I mean, when you look at that, our bench, the last two games has been great to watch, and you got players like Luc de Fougerolle made his debut for Canada last night.
That's right,
which was super. So, but Marco Silva's going to look at players like. Well, he's not even going to look at. He's going to look to upgrade. And if he's going to look to upgrade, then we may be losing players. And don't forget, we've got players like Stansfield out there,
yep,
you know, who must be thinking, surely I've got a shot at the first team next year. You know, we've got good young players out there. We just don't have the depth. If we made it to Europe, you've seen what's happened with Brighton. Brighton looked like they had the depth, but they don't. They came up against the Roma side and clocked them. And that's with injuries as well. So if we finish 10th or 11th and we don't make Europe, but we've consolidated and we can now go, okay, let's pick up a few players to see if we can go up a few notches so that it becomes a comfortable possibility to make Europe, and we're building an infrastructure for a European squad, then yes. But I don't want us to be in a position where we're going to have to buy 7, 8, 9 players and then upset the balance. And then you don't forget, guys, you've got the Thursday, Sunday stuff. That's great. It does. It's hard.
Okay. So that's an interesting opinion there, Giannis. You're making the one that we're not ready for it because we'd have to buy so many players. I see where you're coming. That's actually very interesting. I could see your point. Max, what are your thoughts about that? Because Giannis is making the argument that, say my point total turns out correctly, and that would be amazing, but it might actually be not the best thing for Fulham for next season. That's an interesting take there.
Yeah, we don't even really have the squad for the Premier League right now, let alone the Europa League or Europa Conference League. So, yeah, I think it would be very difficult on us. We've seen us struggle when we're in the Europa League in the 2010s, you know, when we make out of the group stage, and that still took a toll on our league form. Right. Definitely. The squad now is not even close to being ready for it. It's a great point.
Okay. It really is. It's an interesting way to end the show.
We're not going to get there, Russ, so it's a bit of a moot point. Russ, you think we can get 7 wins? You're insane.
Probably, but you know what? That's who I am. Maybe I'm a little bit insane, but I am an optimist, Max. You can't take that out of me.
Yes, you are an optimist. Yes, you are.
Okay, so would you want me to be something I'm not, Max?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Great show, guys. Listen, we went over an hour. This is fantastic. Mr. Janaeus, it's been way too long. Thank you so much for joining Max and myself.
Thank you, and sorry for my lateness. But when you give people driver's licenses, you assume that they know how to drive four wheels. But unfortunately, in this case, and we had some bad weather on Friday, that's not exactly helped. Although it's nice out there now. So no, great to be here, and let's get this international break done. I can't stand international breaks.
I'm there with you. I am there. I can't stand it either. No. Max, as always, great show. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, great to have you on us back. Thanks always, Ross. I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to get 7 wins.
Okay. I know I'm not going to be right, Max, but listen, I predicted 7th to start the season, so I had to go there. I had to try to make an argument for it. I know I'm not going to be right. I gave that up a while ago, but I'm giving one last shot at it because of where we are, trying to do the math, and that's how the math works. I need 7 victories to be in the conversation for 7th or 8th. So we shall see. And keep this in mind, Max. They're only 6 points behind West Ham right now. 6 points. A lot of clubs are ahead of them, but 6 points. So keep that in mind. I know the optimist can't stop. I just can't stop. And that's how I'm going to end the show. Russ the optimist. As always, please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It does help other phone supporters find us. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. My name is Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening and watching to Cottage Talk, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. It's the 90th minute. And all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.